You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Various Artists with Francis and Liam. So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Last night saw the opening of the Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival. The festival is a nationwide event showcasing the best in architecture and design documentaries. It's one of the largest film festivals of its kind in the world and is back and bigger than ever this year. To hear about what's coming up in the festival, how the docos are selected and why we should get along, I caught up with the curator of the festival, Yasmin Ganley. Here we are now.
Could you begin by telling me a little of the festival's history? When did it begin?
It actually started in 2011 by a woman in Colorado, which is a strange place to start, but she owned a production house called Design on Screen, and so she was really sending Rialto the films that she thought could make up an architecture and design festival. And then in 2015, Tracy Lee and Claire Buchanan took over and gave it the life and generosity that it is now known for, and sort of built out the program a little bit more to include things like the gardening section and a focus on sort of future planning and artists who are more on the brink of discoveries with materials and things like that. I think we're up to our 12th year this year.
Obviously, it's showing in New Zealand at the moment. It's opened last night, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Cool. We opened in Auckland to 3 full cinemas.
Wow.
And it opens in Nelson next week, and then it's on to Wellington, then Dunedin, Christchurch and Havelock North. And in Wellington, we have 2 cinema venues, the Embassy and Lighthouse.
Have you added a new location this year as opposed to previous years?
Yes. Havelock North and Nelson they sort of got like the greatest hits of the festival, and this year they're sort of permanent venues. They get the full program.
And let's talk about that full program. Obviously, you've been part of curating the festival. What is the selection process like?
It's very fun. The last year, this is our 2nd year doing it. Last year was a little trickier because the pandemic had really slowed down production, and a lot of films just weren't finished in terms of like sound being synced and things like that. So this year we really were spoilt for choice. There were so many films that we could have included, so we really have such a strong program. I usually comb through some of the more like internationally renowned festivals and pick out the films that I think will resonate with our audience. And then, yeah, that's just a process of getting in touch with the film director or their production company. And then, yeah, just pulling it all together, watching all the films and getting feedback from the team and things like that.
It sounds like a lot of fun. How many different sections are there in the festival? And then I guess through those sections, what have you chosen to highlight this year?
Yeah, so we have split it into 4 sections. We've got an architect hero, which has the likes of Jeffrey Bawa from Sri Lanka, and Brown versus Brown, which is our first New Zealand feature-length architectural film ever, which is a major feat for our film history, and I suspect is going to be the highlight of the program.
Yeah, do you want to tell me a little bit about Brown versus Brown if listeners are interested in going to see it? What's it about?
So this was our opening film last night, and we had Simon talk for the audiences, which was really lovely. He is a filmmaker, and his dad just happens to be Peter Mark Brown, who is one of the head architects for Group Architects, which quite renowned in our architectural history for really making a shift with new materials and creating outward-looking spaces. And I think this was kind of a turning point and created what we know as like some of our favourite modernist houses through the country. So it's a look at that, really. It's a look at his legacy and what he's created and the people who are still living in those spaces. So it's historically very important for New Zealand, and it's also a very tender film. I mean, it's his son who's behind the camera, and you know, he's talking to these families who, some of them are in their 90s and have lived their lives in these beautiful homes.
Really looking forward to getting to see that, and I know there's a lot of excitement about it. What is the significance of holding a festival like this and sharing these films with an Aotearoa audience?
I think it's important for New Zealand to be included in these global conversations around art and architecture and design. I think, you know, we are what we're exposed to, and I think that it's just important that we have a look back at, you know, these people who have created such legacies and beautiful bodies of work that can inspire us, but then also looking at what is happening in that design field, that with future artists who are sort of at the cutting edge of important discoveries. And I think above anything, it's important to be inspired.
Absolutely, and obviously people are looking for that inspiration. Three cinemas on your opening night here in Tamaki is very, very exciting to hear. What do you think it is about design and architecture films that draw people to the cinema? Because they obviously do.
Yeah, it's proving popular. I think probably it comes down to scale. I think having a moving image through homes that you've looked at in books or online and being able to somewhat experience them at that scale is quite a moving experience, I think. And getting all of that information from behind the scenes, yeah, I think it comes down to scale.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, that was my next question about how seeing built spaces and design objects through a film lens can change our understanding and experience of them. And I think, yeah, you're so right there. How do you think hearing from the architects themselves or people who know them well and have lived in those spaces changes our understanding of those spaces too?
Well, they become humanized and they reveal their process. They reveal the process of the architect. The way that somebody lives in a space is revealing of how the architect has built their dwelling and imagined that someone, how they would move through their rooms and how they would absorb natural light, which I think, you know, are all kind of almost like important to survival. And I don't know, I keep thinking of all of these new housing developments that are going up around the city and how they don't take any of that into account. They're really dehumanized. I feel like they're modern and they're new, but they don't take into account where the sun comes up or where the windows are placed. Sort of feels like it's more about just a building rather than the people who live in it.
Yes, yeah, and so the films highlight the craft of the architect as a space maker with people at the heart of it. Well, obviously it's a really big festival in terms of the program. There's a lot to see and probably listeners can't get to see them all. Are there any films that you would specifically recommend? I mean, I'm sure you love them all, but if you could highlight a few, what would you send listeners towards?
Yeah, I've got a couple of personal favourites. Pick would be Bauer's Garden, which, like I said before, was a look at Jeffrey Bauer's own personal house that he built in Sri Lanka. And it's just quite lush. The visuals are beautiful. And the film is by a female director, Clara Craft, and she has two films in the program, actually. Her other film is called Light Without Sun, and it's about a house in Mallorca, and the house is built around the sun's path, and how the rooms are sort of positioned dictate how much or how little light come into it, which is a really beautiful concept for a build. My other pick would be The World is Out of Focus, which is about four Danish artists, all female. They studied at Bauhaus, and it's a look at their archive of photography work. And some of these images you'll recognise, portraits of people. And because these women were under contract underneath a male photographer, they never got any credit. Any photo they took with him was credited to that guy. So it's kind of quite revealing of the time. It's really sweet. These women are, you know, in their 80s and 90s and still working. It's a really sweet film. And then also there's Nan Golden, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which is proving to be, looking at pre-sales, I think it's going to be another popular film. And that's obviously about the legacy of photographer Nan Golden. She sort of takes the lens and turns it on her own life, and we sort of meet her inside her battle with the Sacklers, who are a manufacturers of the prescription painkiller Oxycodone. So it's about her battle against them. Pretty amazing, really. Pretty inspiring.
Oh, thank you, Yasmin, for chatting to me about the festival this morning. Hey, just before we jump off the line, where can listeners go to find the program and book some tickets?
You can go to rialto.co.nz, and if you don't see it on that main page, there is an events section with the Architecture and Design Film Festival program in there, and you can book tickets on their website.
That was Yasmin Ganley talking with me about the curation of the Resene Architecture and Design Film Festival.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.